You may be seated. I don't know about you, but some Sundays, maybe it's the condition of my soul or the events of the week, the worship and music time just hits really hard. This morning was such a morning. You know, I sometimes think about worship music as being protest music, because despite what the situations in the world, the circumstances of our lives, the darkness that seems to sometimes win, it's like we cry out against all that and say, no, we stand on the rock that is Jesus, and the wind can blow and the rain can fall, but we will not be shaken, right? Sometimes we're shaking in our boots, but in worship we said, no, God, you're greater still. And there's nothing like doing that with brothers and sisters, right? Amen. So, thanks for coming in when the bell rang. If you're new this morning, there was a bell, like in the old days. I'm from Scotland, and I've said before, every hour near my parents' house, the church bell rings, and on Sunday morning it rings. And just briefly, that when I was living up in Olympia, Washington, my very first church that Ron and I went to was a church of about 25 people. We learned a lot about community there, and they had an actual bell that they would ring. And I worked in a very irreligious place. It was a record label, and it was my first job I got there, and I was trying to figure out my faith again. But there was a guy who lived across the road from the church, didn't attend the church. He was someone at this record label, and one day he said, Grant, I got to tell you, that church you go to, I don't go to church, but there's something kind of comforting about hearing those bells every Sunday morning. And I thought that was really meaningful. You know, it's the sign that there's some people gathering to say that there's hope in the world. So hopefully our neighbors can hear them, right? Maybe we'll buy a real bell at some point. But thanks for coming in for that. My name is Grant, and I'm a pastor in New Song Church. It's a joy to be in this community. If you are visiting with us today in the seat back, there are connect cards. We'd love, if you've been for a few weeks, if not filled one out yet, there's nothing scary about this. It's just simply so we can know that you were here and connect with you and tell you that we're glad that you have been here, and maybe it can start a bit of a journey to get to know one another better. There's also prayer cards there. So if you have any kind of prayer request today, please fill those in. There's a box at the back of the room here. There's a box in the foyer. You can put these in these boxes. The last day to register for summer camp, that's for middle school kids and high school kids, is July 1st. So if you've not yet registered, there's a few spaces left, I believe, correct? Yep. So register as soon as possible for that. It will be a fun time. We are in Ecclesiastes, as it says on the front of this worship guide, and we are also doing a small group gathering on Wednesday evenings. The main reason is to get to know one another better. I've actually spoken to many people who have said that the moment when they realized that a place of connection at a deeper level was when they joined a small group. And it's for just the duration of the Ecclesiastes series, so 10 more weeks on Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Student ministries is also happening at the same time. Sometimes we collaborate at the end to do something fun together. It's a chance to share with one another what's going on in your lives, and also a chance to dig a little deeper into the message from the previous Sunday. So you're all welcome to come to that. It takes place in here at 6:30 on Wednesday evenings. This evening, there's something else happening, which is a very simple event. On the back, actually, of the worship guide, it's there as Be Quiet. And that's exactly what it is. In this hectic world of crazy busyness, I know sometimes my soul thirsts for a space which is carved out to simply be still. There is a prayer guide, if you'd like to use that, or you can just simply come and sit in this room and have some peace and quiet. Get someone to watch your kids. Maybe I'll be here, or I maybe help watch your kids, right? But you're welcome to come along this evening between 5 and 8. And next Sunday is the last Sunday of this month. And after the gathering, we're going to have prayer for healing. If you have any physical, emotional, relational, just healing that you need in your life, you can wait after the gathering over here on this side, and the elders and pastors will pray over you. In James, in the book of the New Testament, it calls the elders to pray for people who are sick, and then we trust that God will do his good work as we come in faith together. We have also, in this, well, by the way, this worship guide also doubles as a fan. I've seen a lot of you using these things this morning, right? And maybe we should make it into kind of like it folds out bigger, right? You guys awake today? It's not that my jokes are terrible or anything, is it? Okay. On the back, this is the final week. Next week is the final week of this month. And it's actually the final week of our fiscal year. We are very transparent about finances. So on the back, there is the weekly giving that we received last week, what that makes us in this year to date, and then the shortfall. We would love to make some of that up. So the next couple of weeks, pray about it. And maybe God would prompt you to support these amazing ministries that we are involved in. If you don't know what those are, please come and speak with me or get involved in some way. You can find out more on the front. This is a revamped worship guide, if you haven't noticed. There are three QR codes. I have no idea what they do, but I'm sure some of you young folks can teach us, right? Actually, I do know. The first one is for Church Center app. If you go on that, make sure you specify that it's New Song San Dimas. Otherwise, you'll be hearing about all the exciting things happening in some other city, because there are other New Song churches on there. The second one is just some more information about what we do when we gather. And then the last one is for giving. You can do that digitally. If you are someone who is tithing or sharing your resources, again, the box at the back and the box in the foyer is a place to put that. And there are envelopes in the seat backs. I haven't done this for a little while. Better practice. You okay? So we're going to pray now. As our sister and my fellow pastor Melody is going to come up and share from the next part of Ecclesiastes. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us from all of our different places to be together. We barely scratch the surface of what we understand when this happens, but Lord, you see it. You see faithfulness. You see love. You see people who still have hope for this world because their hope is founded in you. We thank you, Lord, for holding us together in this community. And we pray that you would make these walls filled with open doors, open to our community all around us. Lord, make our hearts to be open, to welcome others into this community, in all the places where we gather, in the pantry, in the garden, on Sunday mornings, when student ministries gather, and the kids' ministries, and every aspect of our lives. Help us to see and love our own neighbors. There are so many needs, more than we could ever accomplish. We thank you for all the other churches in our community who are serving in their own way. May we see that connection, that network, that family. And we pray for them this morning as they gather. And we pray that you would draw our attention to what you want us to see and feel and hear and act upon. And Lord, we pray for this broken, sin-soaked world. Our hearts are broken for all who suffer today in the Middle East, in Ukraine, in Sudan, so many other places. Oh, Lord, we pray for all your people, wherever they are, whoever they are, that they may be peace bringers, joy bringers, hope bringers, faith bringers, truth bringers, humble servants who would act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you today. And we pray for all those in places of authority and power. We pray that they would recognize that you are greater than they are, no matter who they are, and that you are a source of wisdom beyond their natural abilities. Enlighten us, Lord. Open our hearts to your word. I pray for Melody, your servant. As she comes, remind her again that it's you who have called her to speak to us this morning, and we pray we would hear your voice. Holy Spirit, teach your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. How's everybody doing on this toasty, toasty morning? Good, very well. The fans are going. I just want to remind you guys, students, too, there is a fill-in-the-blank in the back table there, or any adult that wants to fill-in-the-blank. There are prizes at the end of the day. Oh, look, they all pop up. Whoosh! That's excellent. I love it. All about motivation, right? Grant goes, I'm going. My name is Melody. I'm one of the pastors here, and I think I know every face in here. I know all you lovely people. So nice to see you. The summer has kicked off, yes? Although I will say I did not appreciate a heat wave in June. You know, in August, I kind of expected September, October, but June, too early. Come on. So I did not appreciate, what was it? It is too early? It's too early today in the day, too? Okay, well, you're going to have to be awake because this first part of the sermon, I need some interaction from you guys, okay? So you're awake? Yeah? All right, so I'm going to ask you four very interesting interactive questions, and let's just get going. So imagine, if you will, imagine that today you go home and you come in to a whole lot of money. Let's just say we play the lottery just for kicks today, okay? And it's $20 million. And you get $20 million if you don't believe in the lottery, and that's totally evil, and okay, I get it. But anyway, you come into $20 million today, okay? What do you do with your $20 million? Let's go. Someone said die? Oh, tithe. Excellent, because we have a week to get to budget. So, come on, people. Somebody play the lottery. We won't ask where the money came from. What's that? Share the money. Who'd you share it with? With family?
I would pay off my sister's
debt. Can you pay mine, too? That'd be great. Okay, what else would you do with $20 million?
Buy Ron and Grant a mansion.
What'd you write? Buy the house next door, yeah. Let's just make a compound, right? You know? All right, Kathy, in the back, I see you. Yeah, that's a good one, right? Okay, how about students? What would you do with $20 million? Come on, somebody. Go to Disneyland. You need about $20 million to go to Disneyland. So That is my daughter. Someone please donate to Abby right there. What was the other thing?
Disney World,
yes, okay. All right, next question. Let's say you had all summer to do whatever you liked to do for fun, for travel, for leisure, whatever you like. What are you doing all summer?
Going to Hawaii.
Go to Maui, that's Hawaii.
Europe,
okay, we're traveling different places. Cancun, okay, so we're all travelers, okay? Where else? Anything else other than travel? Say what? Grant and Rana's mansion, we're there. For dinner, but not to stay. anything else you would do with your whole summer? Sleep, help people. Okay, so you have some time to think about it. Third question. Now, this is going to be an interesting one. If you had all summer long to do a project, what would you do? Now, wives are going, okay, I have a list, right? They're saying, okay, let's finish this project. Okay, but let's say you have all summer long to complete a dream project for your home, for outside. What would you do? What would you build? What would the project be?
Redo our ugly bathrooms.
Come on, you have all the money. You have all the time. What would you do?
Redo our backyard.
What was the other one? No one wants to say? Yeah, Jerry. Install a pool. How about at Grant and Ronna's mansion? We'll install a pool there, too. There is already a pool. There is a pool. I've actually been in that house. I forget how I invited myself in, but it's beautiful. There's like a vineyard.
Oh, they did. They left the sprinklers on. Anyway, it's a beautiful house. Maybe one day. Okay. So last question, okay? Last question is, if you had all summer long and all the ability to do this, and someone were to tell you, okay, you can acquire knowledge on this thing. You can learn a different language. You can understand biology or chemistry, right? Some of my high school kids. What would the thing be that you learn? Cooking. Five different languages, not just one. Good job, Nick. What else would you learn? Come on. Don't die on me yet. What else would you learn? Guitar. Okay. Anyone else? A what? A contractor's license. I thought of two things that I wanted to be. I want to be an electrician because all the light bulbs in my house seem to be dying and we can't understand why. So that's one of the first things that came to mind. And then I'm a big fan of Grey's Anatomy, so I'd want to learn how to be a doctor all summer. So I could like diagnose everybody and help you. So maybe, we'll see, huh? Maybe someday. But I'm asking these questions because, as you will see in a moment, the writer in this chapter is about to investigate all of these issues and whether or not they can provide happiness for him. Are you coming to fix me, George? All right, hold on. This is my Beyonce Jennifer Lopez moment where I get to act like I'm very, very... what do you say? High maintenance. I'm not high maintenance. Right, honey? No. Yeah, it's good. Was it me? It was me. All right, sorry. I'm the problem, it's me. I'm a Taylor Swift song. Okay. So we are asking these questions, whether work, pleasure, knowledge, wealth, whatever it is, can provide happiness and satisfaction. He's going to ask himself this question. Did these things, these projects, this wealth, this luxury, this whatever, did these things provide meaning and happiness? We just started this series called Don't Waste Your Days. Don't waste your days. And last week, Grant started us off in his sermon, and he explained a bunch of things. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. But last week, he started us off with saying, Ecclesiastes is a long search for something. It's a long search for something, for some meaning. And, you know, again, go back and listen to it, but he says, you know, the author is typically thought of as King Solomon, but for this purpose, for this series, we're going to say the author because, you know, it could be a couple different things. So, but we are asking ourselves some interesting questions during this series. And we also provided a very interesting element to this Don't Waste Your Days theme we have going on here. We provided a link on, is it on the worship guide? I'm not sure if it's on the worship guide. No, it's the weekly update. And I know you can access it if you call the front office, we can email you. But this is your life in weeks, okay? So this is my life in weeks. It's about middle of the road here. So if I live to be 90, right, this is how many days I've lived in red and how many days I have yet to go not filled in yet. And, you know, this made me feel all sorts of emotions when I saw it. It made me feel like, ah, and like, oh my gosh, you know, just kind of looking at my days. Now, in case you're curious, I'm going to show Grant's days next to my days just to take a little jab at him. But that just means he's, oh, the wiser. Grant from Dundee, right? He said that last week. I wish someone would refer to me as Grant from Dundee. So there you go. Check it off your list. But let's get going here, and I'm going to talk about this in a moment again. Let's get going here in chapter 2, and let me give you a little bit of context here. As we just said, we're on a journey, and the person on this journey we're calling a friend for the journey, and today we're going on a quest, and he's pondering life's meaning. Now, in chapter 2, it would appear and it would seem that our friend here is extraordinarily wealthy. Extraordinarily wealthy. There's another verse in the Bible that said he had more silver than stones on the ground. So extraordinarily wealthy, unlimited resources. And he has the ability to pull off the quest that we're going to talk about in a second. And he is going to tell us exactly what he did with his money, exactly what he did for pleasure, exactly what projects he worked on, and even the wisdom he acquired. And he is going to see if he can find satisfaction, purpose, and happiness. So let's read chapter 2. I said to myself, "Come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good." Am I reading the right version here? Should I read it from the screen? One moment. Don't waste your days. We're just going to spend some moments looking at the screen. Should I just read, Electra? She's trying to fix it. Okay, how about you listen, and we will see if we can figure it out. I said to myself, "Come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good." But that also proved to be meaningless. I can read from the screen, Electra. I'm reading a different version. I'm so sorry. Okay, let's read this one. I thought in my heart, "Go ahead, test yourself with pleasure to see what is good. But oh, that is too vapor." And laughter, I said, "Madness about pleasure, what good is it?" As my heart kept guiding me with wisdom, I put it to work, researching how to relax my body with wine and how to grasp why people do stupid things. That's a really excellent question, right? My goal was to see what was good for people to do under the sky during the few days of their lives. Think about our squares, right? I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted every kind of fruit tree in them. I made reservoirs of water for myself to irrigate a forest of sprouting trees. I acquired male and female servants. I also had slaves that were born into my house. Livestock too. I had more herds and flocks than anyone before me in Jerusalem. I piled up silver and gold for myself, as well as treasures from kings and provinces. I acquired male singers and female singers for myself. He basically had a choir ready to go for himself whenever he wanted. And what gives me great pleasure to men, one concubine after another. That means he had a lot of girlfriends, folks. Okay. So I became great, and I surpassed all who were in Jerusalem before me. Nevertheless, my wisdom still stayed with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not withhold from them. I did not hold my heart back from any pleasure. My heart even took pleasure in all my hard work. This is what I got from all my hard work. But when I turned my attention to everything my hands had done and how hard I had worked for it, note this, it was all vapor. All chasing the wind, there was no benefit under the sun. I turned my attention to consider wisdom, madness, and stupidity. For what will the man do who will succeed the king? Only what has already been done. I saw wisdom is better than stupidity, as light is better than darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I also knew that one fate meets them all. So whether you're very smart or whether you're very stupid, one fate meets them all. So I said in my heart, the same fate that meets the fool will also meet me. So why then have I been overly wise? So I said in my heart, this too is just vapor. No one will remember the wise man or the fool for long. In the days to come, all of them will be already forgotten. How does the wise man die? Just like the fool. So I hated life because the work done under the sun was so frustrating for me, because everything is vapor and chasing the wind. I also hated all the results of my hard work. All my hard work for which I had worked so hard under the sun, since I must leave it all to the man who comes after me. And who knows, will he be wise or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the results of my hard work for which I worked so hard and so wisely under the sun. This too is what? vapor that vanishes. So I changed my course, and my heart began to despair over all my hard work at which I worked so hard under the sun. Can you tell he's worked hard under the sun? He's said it about a million times. Sure, there may be a man who has worked hard, wisely, what does that say? I can't see that far. Aptly and skillfully. But he must hand over whatever he has accumulated, but all his hard work, to a man who has not worked hard for it. This too is? And it's so unfair. For what does a man go through all his hard work, through the turmoil in his heart, as he works so hard under the sun? Pain fills all his days. His occupation is frustration. Even at night, his heart does not rest. This too is vapor. There is nothing better for a man than to eat and to drink and to find joy in his work. This too, I saw, is from God's hand. For who can eat and enjoy himself apart from him? Yes, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness to the man whom he considers good. But to the person who goes on sinning, God gives the tasks of gathering and collecting, but only so that he can give it to the person whom God considers good. This too is vapor, nothing but chasing the wind. Are you with me? Kind of? A little bit? Wow, my goodness, right? It felt a little bit like a wild ride through vapor, would you say? Just a ride through Disneyland, which we're going to for $10 million, right? It was a wild ride through his talk about wisdom, wealth, pleasure, accomplishments. Can these provide meaning, satisfaction, happiness, purpose? So let's recap really quick in our own words here. He says, I built houses and vineyards. So again, we can understand that he had immense wealth. We can imagine the places he built for himself. Have you ever been to a castle? Yeah, what castle? Larney Castle. I've only been to one castle in my life, and that was the Hearst Castle in San Simeon, California. And I don't even think we saw it all. I have a couple pictures here to show you. This was an indoor pool. Has anyone been to Hearst Castle? Yeah? Okay, so you know this. And there's like gold plated in the floors and on the walls, on the ceiling. There's gold flakes just kind of everywhere. There's another pool outdoors, and it's called Neptune's Pool. And it is beautiful. Words don't even do it justice. You know, my husband Chris tried to capture a picture of this beautiful door, but instead he captured a picture of his beautiful wife. And I was like, that looks like it needs a little something. He's like, okay, could you actually move? Because I want a picture of the door. So I think of when I hear this man and how he built these beautiful gardens and these vineyards and this and that, I think of a castle. And I think, you know, how amazing that must have been. So something like Hearst Castle along the way here. So he worked on projects, right? He worked on projects. Then he went on to indulge in everything he possibly could, in luxury. He threw banquets. He hosted parties that lasted for days with food that probably would make Gordon Ramsay jealous, I would say. You know, he would have the finest wines, the finest meats. Talk about a charcuterie board night, right? And it wasn't about just indulgence. It was about hitting the limits of pleasure and hitting the limits of materialism. He has full access to women, to servants. He delights in all these things to the fullest of his heart's desire. Then the author turns his attention to achievement and ambition, and he goes on this quest for wisdom and understanding, and like we said, trying to learn and maybe trying to understand and unlock the secrets of the universe and the complexities of life. He's probably reading, right, every ancient scroll. He's trying to contemplate the human condition, but he comes to the conclusion, what did we say it's all? It's all vapor. He comes to the conclusion that knowledge and intellectual pursuits, they can't grant you immortality. Everyone meets the same fate.
so it doesn't give him ultimate meaning. His achievements, his insights, no matter how profound, don't give him meaning, purpose. They don't satisfy. So what's his ultimate conclusion after all of this? So let me ask you first what your thoughts are. Have you found yourself seeking happiness, satisfaction? Have you found yourself looking to something for this? As we said earlier, projects, knowledge, wealth, achievements, have you found yourself saying, maybe to yourself, maybe even to other people, when this happens for me, I will be happy? Yes? Have you found yourself saying, I would be happy if I had a mansion on the property? I would be great if I had a pool. My kids are really acting up. It'd be great if they were just like so-and-so's kids, right? You know, maybe you've said that you would be satisfied if you had a better job that paid more. And I don't want you to hear me wrong. Desiring happiness is a worthy desire. And of course, we all, you know, should have happiness in our life. But I think in our culture, right, especially here, our culture, happiness and prosperity are probably the highest goals in life. And we pursue it sometimes at all costs, at the cost of our family, at the cost of our relationships, at the cost of whoever we might cut down at work because we're trying to climb that ladder. We pursue these, we make sacrifices, we spend our time and money on that. And maybe like our friend here, tell me if this sounds familiar, maybe like our friend here, when the happy feeling grows old and wears out, we start to question things again. You know, some of us think sometimes that, you know, this job is not rewarding anymore, so as soon as I go over here, this will be better. Well, will any job be free of conflict? No. Oh, maybe if I get a little spouse upgrade. Don't even think about it. Right? Maybe if I had a better spouse, I would be happier in my home life. We start asking some questions like this. How can I be happy when I hate my job? My marriage is hard. Parenting is exhausting. It's hard. And it's happiness is a good feeling. Satisfaction is a good feeling that we want to keep. And while it's not a bad thing, it's not the ultimate thing. It's not the ultimate thing. I'm going to tell you about a time in my 20s where I was seeking happiness and satisfaction. Did everyone catch the song at the beginning? How awesome was that? Yeah? I was in my mid-20s, and I was dating this guy, and I was dating that guy, and I was going here, and I was going there, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I moved out on my own because I thought I would be happier. I was trying to fill my time and my space with things I thought would make me happy. I was looking for thrills. I was looking for excitement. This place to eat, or that bar to go to, or that club has this band playing at that time. I even took my thrill seeking to the sky, and I jumped out of a plane. That was me right there. Okay, I have to do it because I was like a Tim McGraw song. You know it? I went skydiving. Come on, don't leave me hanging because then I look like a fool. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on what bull? On a bull named Fu Manchu. Thank you. Yes, it goes on. It goes on. It goes on. Thank you, Maddie. Sorry, Justin. Justin's like, please don't, please don't, please don't. But I did. I was thrill seeking, and, you know, I was just looking for something to fill me. But this was probably one of the loneliest times in my life. I was there with like 20 friends. But it was probably one of the loneliest times in my life, probably one of the furthest times I was from God. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me skydive and protecting me from that.
And you know, you might think, oh yeah, as a young adult, I did some crazy things too. Well, let me tell you about a few years ago. There was a time a few years ago that projects were my thing. Projects are kind of always my thing, so that's to be said. But I was super focused on painting for a while. I painted everything I could paint in my house. Those are my cabinets, right? It was a Labor Day weekend, and it was like 10 o'clock at night, and I was like, let me go to Home Depot. I bought a can of paint, and I started, and Chris was like, I want nothing to do with this. But I paint everything I could paint, I painted. He covered his motorcycle so that that wouldn't get touched, just in case. But I was painting everything I could because I was just enthralled and distracting myself with these projects. I was trying to find purpose and meaning because I didn't want to focus on the fact that my mom just died. I didn't want to sit in those feelings. I didn't want to think about it. I just wanted to busy myself with something, and I did. And I found myself, like our friend here on this journey, realizing that satisfaction in things is just temporary. And that all that chasing, all that satisfaction, looking for that, is like chasing the wind, like he says. For me, a good example came from when I was at the beach one of those weekends, and I was trying to catch something in my hand in the ocean. I was trying to catch a little creature, and the water kept dripping from it. It's like trying to catch the ocean in your hand. You can't catch it. And by the end of the day, the author here, he feels unsatisfied and empty. And I would say that I agree with the same thing. He found himself trying to catch the wind. He says in verse 24, so I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Then I considered all my hands had done, the toil I had expended doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind. Yikes. C.S. Lewis said this, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea, we are far too easily pleased. And this is where the fragile problem of our text lies today. This is the fragile problem. When we're looking for pleasure, satisfaction, meaning apart from God, we will find a substitute. We will find it. Whether it's work, whether it's food, whether it's a person, whether it's a thing, a project, whatever we just said, we will find a substitute, but it is temporary and it will wear off. When we get home from our vacation, when our marriage gets difficult and our job isn't rewarding, what brings us happiness one day will fall short the next. And it will ultimately disappoint you. So again, these things are not bad things, but they are not the ultimate source of meaning. In verse 24, it says, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. Is from the hand of God. We rather make mud pies than enjoy a trip to the sea sometimes, but God has this eternal perspective on our life that we just can't understand. He cares more about our eternal perspective than he does about our temporary happiness. And he is trying to get us ready for eternity with him. The feeling that goes and comes, you know, it's a weird ending to this chapter. It's a very weird ending because he just ends it. And we're left in this restless place of trying to understand God and the world we live in at the same time. You know what this chapter feels like to me, the end of this chapter? It feels like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride at Disneyland. Has anyone been on it? It's so weird. It's so weird. You're here, you're there, and then, and then before you know it, it's done, and you're like, I didn't even understand that ride at all. That was crazy, and it's only a few minutes long. That's what this chapter feels like to me. That's what this chapter feels like. But we're going into a journey in this book together. And we're going to take time to look at these things in more depth. And as we go along, I want us to pray that we would engage in this text and not shy away from the difficult questions it asks. I'm going to have the band come up now. I think the reason I had such a hard time when I was looking at my squares on a piece of paper, when I was looking at my life and days, my weeks and days, I think I felt the tears come to my face because I was thinking, wow, so much of my life has already lived. And I'm looking at my squares thinking, what is giving meaning to my life? What am I spending my time on? What am I chasing? What am I chasing? What am I pursuing? Is it pleasure? Is it wisdom? Is it knowledge? Is it fortune? What is it? And am I seeing these things in perspective of eternity with God? Am I seeing these things? And that's the weird tension that we leave off here today. It would be very, very, very easy for me today to spin it and say, hey, you know what? The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. And it would be fitting for me to say, because Jesus does provide the ultimate connection to our Father, who is the ultimate source of meaning. But I don't want to close this book and say, okay, Jesus, and see you next week. I want you to contemplate these questions, because the author of this book, in this time, Jesus had not entered the scene yet at this point in history. Jesus is not on the scene. So what do we get from this book, from this ending to this chapter in that time? What did it mean then, and what does it mean now? What does it mean? So I'm going to invite you to take this deep journey here, this maybe uncomfortable place where we're going to leave off here. I hope you leave with a little discomfort. Like, what was Melody's point? You know, the point is, let's look deeper. Let's ask ourselves more questions. Let's say, hey, what am I chasing? What am I spending my time on? What does it mean? And I really want you to think about the squares in your life, to think about the squares in your week. Tonight, we have a very fitting opportunity for you to do that. Tonight is the be quiet right here. Now, I know it's hot. We want to go home, right? I put on my relaxing pants as soon as I get home on a Sunday. I want to take a nap. But you know what? This time and this space is designed for moments like this. What are you struggling with right now? What are you asking yourself? You could ask yourself that at home, sure, but I don't know about you, but sometimes at home I get distracted in one thing. I hear a noise. I'm going to go check the dog. I'm going to go check the air conditioner. This space here tonight is for you to come and be quiet and perhaps contemplate some of these questions. What am I filling my time with and why? What are you finding your meaning in? And where does God fit in that? Are you seeing it with eternity in mind? Struggling through these things is a good thing. It means we don't want to settle for just mud pies. Amen? So we're going to take communion now. And let's just sit with that, okay? Let's sit, we'll hold it, we'll take it together. But let's sit in that, in this kind of place of, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Is it temporary? What's the author's answer? It's all vapor. So what do we spend our time focusing on? Let's pray about it. Come get your communion up here or back there. So today, want you to remember as we do this that all these things we talked about are not bad things, but they're not the ultimate thing. They're not the ultimate thing. And I think that time and time again, from the person who is, would seem to be someone who's not important, someone who's, you know, not known by anybody, to the most famous person on the earth, when they're chasing after things, it never lasts. It's vapor. So that we would remember that today and really sit in it. What would we do for the summer? What would we do if we could? Maybe that's a question you have to ask God, because guess what? You do have days ahead of you. You do have days to be filled with something. What will that be? What will that be? And where do you look for? Where do you look to for your meaning? Let's take the bread. Lord God, we ask that as we continue on this journey of Ecclesiastes and look at our days, Lord. Lord, would you speak to us? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you speak to our minds? Lord, would we would look at the things from our phones to the people in front of us to people we hang out with. Lord, speak to us. Is there something that you want to point us to, God? God, would we be willing to ask ourselves these questions? Let's take the cup. And Lord, as we close today, We do know what gives us ultimate meaning, ultimate purpose, and ultimate satisfaction. We do know, Lord. I don't know if we live our lives like that, God. Would we be willing to take an honest look? God, guide us through this journey as we walk through Ecclesiastes, as we walk through with our friend. Lord, would we feel a discomfort that comes from you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.